thank you that you are. We thank you that you have good things for us. We thank you that you are our promise keeper. We thank you that you are our great provider. We thank you that you are our healer, that you are our blesser. Father, we are so thankful for all the things you pour out into our lives. Father, we are thankful that as we stand firm in you, as we seek the things that you have for us, that you provide and bless and overfill. God, we thank you that you are a God of abundance. God, we thank you that you are a warrior. We thank you that you are our king. Thank you that you are our Lord of our lives. Father, I pray that the rest of this morning, God, that you would just touch us in a new and unique way, that you would remind us of some truths, that you would encourage us and bless us, and that we would be a blessing to each other. Father, that we would be joyful as we are here, and we would share that joy with each person we come in contact with. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, music team. You can have a seat, I guess. Some of you already sat. Lyle, again. Excuse me. So we're still on this series of Miserably Saved that we started last week, and we're going to continue on for a couple more weeks of it. And this week is called Letting Go of Sin. So I have a question. It's a rhetorical question, but maybe if you want, you can still throw up your hand, even though it's rhetorical. But how many of you would say that you live a life as if you are gloriously, joyfully saved? Anybody? Yeah. Now, the other side of that is, how many would you say that you're miserably saved category? You don't want to put your hand up or say yeah, like Nathan was so excited to say yeah. I don't blame you, because that's not where we're called to live. But last week, we talked about the fact that we are gloriously saved. We're saved from this life, this mundane life. We're saved from living a life that is not passionate. We have this gloriously saved life that we can live, which is just so amazing because we have Christ with us. We talked last week about how we need to stop focusing on these earthly things and stop living and focusing on carnal things. How we need to start focusing our minds on things above. How we need to start focusing on Him. And I reminded you last week, if you don't remember, to stop being so miserable. Now, I know you're not all miserable. Maybe you are. Maybe the wife is hitting the husband saying, yeah, stop being so miserable. I don't know. Maybe it's the husband hitting the wife. Maybe it's me getting hit when I get home and I say that to my wife as she's leaving. Don't be so miserable, Stacy. And she decks me. Don't worry. I got in trouble for sharing the soccer story already. But the best part was because you could hear it all through. I'm not going to get into it. But you could hear it everywhere in the soccer facility. It was great. And even the point, like she was a referee. It was great. And it's probably so funny for me because she's not the one that yells usually. Usually it's me. So if you see her, she's a very reserved soccer fan. I'm almost crazy. But we talked about the fact, like Mel even shared, that is that we need to move forward because He has so much more for us. And I made a comment last week that salvation isn't the finish line. When you get saved, that's not it. It's not, oh, I've arrived, I'm good to go. But it's the starting point to this new life that He has called us to. Amen? So last week we talked about cup one from the Seder Supper, and it's the freed from slavery, the gift of salvation. And this week we're talking about cup two, the get slavery out of the Israelites, or getting sin out of our lives is really what it is getting slavery. Because when you're sinning, you're a slave. You're not free. You're not living a free life that only Christ can give us. So I don't have a lot for us today. I have only 8 points, but they're shorter points, so don't worry. We're not going to be here till, I can't see. Well, we're not going to be here till 1:30. Only, we've got a roast in the oven. We put it in a little late, so we've got till 1 o'clock, guys. So hope you're all comfy. But the first point is don't get stalled. Because like I said, that's not just a starting point, or the ending point. That's the starting point. We need to move forward. And when you're stalled, you're not moving forward, are you? You can't drive when you're stalled. I remember trying to learn to drive a standard truck and how many times I would stall, especially at the starting point. I remember pulling up to the lights and there'd be like a super cool car beside me because I live in Lloyd and everybody seemed to have money and have a cool car. And here's me and my 1973 GMC Stepside that had black fenders, blue doors, and red tailgate. And it was all different colors. It was really a classy unit. And I'd pull up there and I'm like, I'm going to beat them. Now, those of you that are mechanical, my truck was pretty fast. It had a 250 straight six engine in it. So I don't think I could beat many people. But I pull up to the lights and I'm revving it and I'm in bull low. It's a four-speed standard. I'm in bull low and I'm like, I'm going to at least pop this clutch and squawk the tires. And I remember doing this the first time and I popped the clutch and stalled. I didn't go anywhere. I couldn't go anywhere. And I think when you live a life that is stalled, you're not going anywhere. Don't get stalled in the same position you were before you accepted Jesus into your life. Don't get stalled in the same place you were yesterday. We should continually be moving forward, shouldn't we? Today is a new day. I should be moving forward in Christ. Tomorrow's another new day. I should continue pressing in and moving forward, shouldn't I? Each day is new. Each day is a new opportunity to press into Him more. Grace continues to deliver you. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. He makes you righteous, doesn't He? He makes me righteous. And as He makes me righteous, I need to press on and continue forward. The second thing about this cup is this is a cup of deliverance. When you're delivered, you're freed. You get out of whatever that mess you were before and you're into something glorious. You're not in the mess. You're delivered from the mess. It's better than getting delivery pizza. You are delivered from the mess. You're delivered from the junk and you have something so much more, so much greater, don't you? You're righteous. The third point, see, these are going to go fast, guys. You're going to get to your roast by 12:15. Except Nathan, because he's got a long drive. I believe the third thing is we are more effective as believers. We are more effective as a church, because we're gathered as individual believers, when we live and when we are free. We're not in bondage. We've been delivered from that bondage. We've been saved. We are not stalled. We are moving forward, and we are free. I'm trying to remember. There's a movie, and it's an old movie. Maybe you know it. But there's this old movie. It's about, well, it's not that old. Maybe the 90s. That's old now, isn't it? Anyways, so there's this old movie, and it's got the guy from ER. What's his name in Ocean's 11? Who? Not Nicolas Cage. Oh, sorry, my ears. I should clean them. Sorry, George Clooney. I don't know why I heard Nicolas Cage. George Clooney is in this movie, and it's called Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Have you ever seen it? And these guys, they're trying to work, and some of them try to escape, and what do they got? They got shackles on their hands. They got a chain around their waist and shackles to their ankles, and they're walking around, and they're trying to work. How effective are you when you're in shackles? You're not. Like, can you imagine trying to swing a pitchfork? You can't do it because your shackles don't let you get your arms up and get the leverage, right? You're not effective when you're in shackles. But you're more effective and you're really effective when you live a free and victorious life, aren't you? I heard a couple yups. Thank you. See, it's when you're free, you can move. You can do things. You can be active. You can work for God. Not when you're living like this. But too often, we accept Jesus, and we should have those shackles off, but we only live a life like they've just been unlocked. We don't actually break free of the shackles so we can do things. Because we allow those chains, we allow that past to hold us down and weigh on us and not allow us to live a free and effective life for Him. We need to make the choice because He's unlocked those chains. He's broken the chains. But are we going to keep living like this? Or are we going to live free? That's up to us. We need to choose to live free and be effective for Him. 2 Timothy 2:26 says, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. So what is the will of Satan? That we would be captive, that we would sin, that we would not be effective for Jesus. I'm pretty sure that's what he would want us to do. He doesn't want us sharing the gospel, living a victorious life, would he? And further than that, when we get saved, he doesn't want us living a victorious life. He would rather us live under the condemnation that we've put ourselves under these shackles that we've put keep ourselves in, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And we keep reading John 8:33-36 says, then they answered him, when we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone, how can you say that we shall be free? And Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you are what? You're free indeed. Jesus says we're free when we accept him, when we have a relationship with him. So why do we live like we're in shackles? Why do we live like we're slaves? Live victoriously. And that scripture to me ties to the very next point. Oh boy, I've got like points upon points tied together. I've got it all messed up. Sorry. Don't worry about it. It's going to be good. Right? So my next point ties right to that though. What's holding you back? See, too many believers, both that have been living this believing life, been believer for a long time, or those that are new, let sin steal from them. Let fear steal from them. They don't let sin just drop and go. They don't start living a life that is they're called to live. They let sin take the best parts of their life. Don't let sin and fear steal your joyous life of becoming a believer. Don't let sin and fear stop you from living a victorious life. He has freed us. He has brought victory to us. So let's take it. Sin and sinful living is holding us back from experiencing all of the goodness of God. And I kind of shared this a bit at the Lenten lunch, that there are things going on around us. We can have sin in our life, and it's distracting us from the goodness of God. Fear is distracting us from the goodness of God because we've taken our eyes off of Him, and we've put it on what's going on around us. We've put it on ourselves. Let's put our focus on Him and all the good things that He has for us. Don't let it hold you back. Because there's only one thing that will set us free, isn't it? And that's the truth. The truth will set us free. So the question I ask is the same question that Pilate asked Jesus. And I've shared this scripture a lot, but it's probably one of my favorite scriptures. And it's found in John 18:33-38. So Pilate went back into the governor's residence, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus replied, are you saying this on your own initiative, or have others told you about me? Pilate answers, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own people and your chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus replied, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my servants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish authorities. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Then Pilate said, so you are a king? And Jesus replied, you say that I am a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came to this world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate asked, what is truth? And he kind of said that with some attitude. What is truth? And when he said this, he went back outside to the Jewish leaders and said, I have found no basis of accusations against him. Jesus came to testify to the truth. He is, as my dear friend here shared, I'm drawing a blank, Gary. As Gary shared, Jesus is the what? The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. And if you know Jesus, you know the truth. And if you know the truth, you know Jesus. And as we read in John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, I find it interesting because if you read some translations, they capitalize the words truth, the name truth. And you know why they do that? Because Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. Jesus came to set us free. So this means that we need to stop putting ourselves in chains. We need to stop shackling ourselves. He came to free us, didn't he? Who likes living a free life? Who would rather live in bondage and chains and be like on George Clooney when Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, trying to pick on the railway? I don't think anybody would. He's called us to live free. He's called us to live with truth. Point number six. What hinders you today? So I have a question mark behind that. I think I put a question mark. No, I didn't. There should be a question mark behind that. What hinders you today? Now, the reason I would ask that as a question is because you need to drop it. You need to drop what's hindering you today. What hinders you today doesn't have a hold on you in the future. What hinders you today isn't yours to bear. Give it to God. Allow Him to take that burden because He wants to take that burden. He's already taken that burden. He's already brought the victory on the cross. So what burdens you today? What hinders you today? We can walk in victory, can't we? We can walk free. We can walk with joy. We can walk with abundance. We can walk with His blessings, can't we? We can have all those things. But far too often we look at what hinders us, what might be going on around us, and we throw it on our back. And we had a good talk with Nora about this on Friday night. She's like those burdens and those hindrances. You keep throwing them in your backpack. You keep throwing them in your backpack and you keep walking with those. Oh, there's another one. Oh, there's whatever, COVID-19 or COVID-1962, whatever it's called. You take it and throw it in my backpack. Oh. Oh, there's West Nile. Oh, there's a financial ruin. Oh. Oh, we got $20 oil prices. Oh. Oh, it's snowing outside. And we keep putting it on our back. Don't let it hinder you. It's not your burden to bear. He's bore the burden. I'm pretty passionate about that one. I don't know why, but I just see too many of us live a burden-filled life. Too many of us let the hindrances of the world get us down when Jesus came to pick us up and bear that burden. Number seven, sin and pain keep you from growing. Sin and pain keep you from growing. So our own sin or the pain that we've taken from somebody maybe saying something to us keeps us from growing. And I like to use the reference of the weeds with the sin. Jesus used the reference of the weeds, so I can too. But we need to pull the weeds from our life. We need to pull the weeds from our life and get some fertile, good soil there. Nathan, in your farm, do you let the weeds grow rampant? No, you don't want them there, right? In my garden, I call it my garden, but I make the kids weed and Stacy plants, and I sit back on my tractor and rotor till. I'm doing the rotor tilling, but we all work together. We all have our job. Mine's just more fun. But with gardening season coming up, oh, I just spit too. With gardening season coming up, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go and try to pull the weeds. I'm going to rototill. I'm going to get it clean and ready, right? And then I'm going to plant my seeds in the rows however it needs to be done according to the package and however I feel like I don't have room for. And we're going to plant. And I'm not going to let the weeds grow up, am I? Because if I let those weeds grow, is my seed going to sprout? Is my seed going to grow? Not as effectively. Probably get choked out by the weeds. I need to go get those weeds out of that garden. I need to pull those weeds. And we need to pull those weeds from our life. Now, some of those weeds may be the addictions that we have had, our hang-ups, past relationships. It might be current relationships. Could be sin. Could be whatever. However these weeds look. But that sin and pain keep you from growing properly. It hurts. Does weed in your field, Nathan, not affect your yield? Drastic effect on your yield. And sin or weeds in our life has a drastic effect on our yield. And I'm not even a farmer. I'm learning. Number 8. Grace saved you. Grace delivered you. I'm so thankful for grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your doing. It came through your own striving, but it is the gift of God." It came not through your own striving. Sorry, I should wear my contacts maybe. It came not from your striving, but it is a gift from God. Grace. To Jesus gave us victory. Didn't he? Through grace. He gave us grace. I want you to remember some things. I want you to remember. I'm going to invite the music team up. I told you I wasn't going to be like an hour today. I joked with you a little. I want you to remember this when you leave today, that you're not a slave to sin. You don't have to keep those roots of the weeds in your life. You don't have to walk like you're defeated. You can walk victorious. You're not a slave to sin because Jesus bought my victory. Didn't he? He bought my victory. I'm free, that means. When I know Jesus, I can live a free life. I can be more effective in everything I do. Not even just reaching people for him. I can be more effective in my job, with my family, with my finances. I can be more effective in every aspect of my life because Jesus brought me freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, "In this freedom, being a believer, being a Christian, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us, completely freed us. He brought victory and freedom for each and every one of us. So stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to the yoke of slavery. Break off that yoke and live a free and victorious life. Don't keep letting life put it on you or somebody put it on you. Well, I know how he used to be. Here's your yoke of slavery. Get that thing off me. I am not that anymore. I am a follower of Christ and I am free." So we need to live like we're free. I'm going to read that again. "And do not be hampered and held ensnared and submit again to that yoke of slavery which you have once put off." You don't need to put it back on again. Don't let somebody put it on you. Walk in victory. Walk in freedom. Walk in victory. Did I say walk in freedom? Because you need to walk in freedom. We don't need to put on that sin. I've got one more thing I'm going to say, and that's this, and it's a reminder, not even a new thing. I am not a slave to sin. Jesus bought my freedom. Would you guys say that with me? Ready? I am not a slave to sin. Jesus bought my freedom. Jesus bought your freedom. Did you know that? If you didn't, you do now. And if you did, I just hope I reminded you, He bought your freedom. You're free. Shed those shackles, shed that yoke. Live a free and victorious life. Walk with Him, get to know Him more. That's what we're called to do. Because He came to testify to the truth. And He is the truth. Would you stand with us? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You brought us freedom. God, we thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus, who is the truth. We thank You that He is truth. We thank You that He came to testify to the truth. We thank You that He came to buy our freedom and give us victory and joy and blessings. And God, I pray that as a church, we would stand on those blessings. We would stand on that victory. God, we thank You that we are victorious. That we don't have to sit there like so many people do and act as if the battle's done and we lost, because the battle is done and we are victorious in You. So we thank You, Jesus. I'm going to take an opportunity. If anybody doesn't know Jesus and wants to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you a second. If you want to throw your hand up and say, yeah, it's me, we're going to give you that moment. No eyes are looking. Okay, guys, we're going to pray this prayer together. And if you're praying this prayer and you don't have a Bible and you just become a believer today, come talk to me after and we'll give you a Bible. Let's pray together. Can you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, thank You for loving me. Thank You for coming to this earth for me. Jesus, I pray that You will take away my sins. Thank You for welcoming me into Your family. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for forgiving me and restoring me to Your Father, that we can be in relationship. Thank You for bringing people into my life who will walk with me, who will love me, who will encourage me into a closer walk with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to close this in prayer one more time, and then Mary and the team are going to lead you, and then she's going to close the whole service out in prayer. But let's pray again. Father, thank You for those that may have prayed that prayer for the first time today. God, we pray that You would just encourage them and bless them. Father, bless each and every individual here. Father, I pray that our minds may be renewed and that You will give us a new perspective, that we are free in You, that You brought our freedom, Jesus, and that we don't have to walk under that yoke and under that bondage anymore. So Jesus, bless us as we go out. Let us make an impact. Let us live a joyful life, and let us not live lives of fear. In Jesus' name, amen.